You are listening to CFRC Radio from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Four Queen's students have launched a mental health tool designed just for students. CEDL.ca is a free, verified directory of supports for university campuses across the country. I sat down with the team to learn how it all started, what they discovered, and their hopes for the future.
My name is Jonathan Chikargi. I am a second year in health sciences, and I'm responsible for the technology aspect within CEDL.
My name is Tobori Akpoyebe. I am also in second year of health science. I am responsible for marketing.
My name is William Wu. I'm also in second year health sciences, and my role is financially planning the events at CEDL.
My name is Sharman Davidian. I'm in second year of health sciences, and my role is with the operations of CEDL.
The idea for CEDL began in their first year at Queen's, when the group noticed the struggle that comes with navigating university life and mental health.
Essentially, last year we all started university, and so we recognized that was kind of like a time where we had a bunch of new experiences, whether that be through meeting different peoples, different clubs. And so there's a lot of strain. A lot of the time you can get so immersed within like all the different learnings that you do, and you can kind of put your mental health on a back burner. And so we started talking a little bit, and we recognized it's much, much more common than you'd expect. And so we really wanted to do something about that. And that's where CEDL came from. We really thought, okay, if this is such a recurring problem, how can we make mental health resources more accessible to everybody, especially within the university context?
Each founder took on a role and built a platform that filters resources by category, identity-affirming supports, and more.
The first thing we thought about is making a directory. So essentially having a place where you'd be able to really see all these resources, especially because you can more so grasp, okay, is there a disparity within this community? Like, can we address that as well? Beyond that, we started thinking, okay, how do we filter out these resources? So whether it's like a BIPOC resource or LGBTQ plus IA, or whether that be a specific type of support, crisis line, community counseling, we thought about filtering as well.
We have various different categories of resources on our website. We have like online resources and in-person resources. And the way that our website really works is that we have specific campuses across Canada the students can choose from. For example, Queen's University. And based off of that campus, there's different resources around them that they can have access to and that they will see. And if it's like an in-person resource, we have a feature where it says like how many kilometers that campus is away from that resource. We provide various different types of categories throughout our depository so that students can really go through these categories and pick a resource that's more tailored and catered towards their mental health needs.
The team says that students are uniquely vulnerable because of factors like workload and change in environment.
I think especially for students, we're always in such a busy time of our lives, whether it's clubs, making new friends, schoolwork, classes. It's always super busy, and people really just put their mental health in the back of their mind. They don't really focus on it. They're just too busy with their work, with their life. Yes, we do all this work as students. Yes, we're so busy, but we also need to be happy with our lives. We need to make sure that we're doing something that we are happy with. And that's why mental health is so important, just to make sure that you are not only being successful, but also that you are happy with the state of life that you have.
The team also pointed to the stigma that comes with discussing mental health and the role of education and institutions in addressing this.
I think a big thing, a lot of the time there is this sort of stigma that's associated with mental health. Somebody could be perceived as weak in that regard because they are looking for that mental health. I think education plays such a fundamental role when it comes to that seeking of support. I think making different awareness campaigns and really just showing that, hey, this is an acceptable thing. You should be reaching out to support because, as Sherman mentioned, success, that's a part of your success in life. It's your whole quality of life is based on the way that you sort of see these things, and having that background and that level of support is so necessary. So I would definitely say when it comes to universities and campuses, more so making it more accessible and more known that, hey, this is totally an option and there's no stigma associated with it.
I was also going to say that's why CETL is so important in that manner in regards, because we provide that resource that universities can go ahead and share. It's really hard to gather these different resources and put them together in a depository, but we've already done that and provided it for the general population. So universities can then use CETL to kind of help educate others also about the different mental health support systems and resources that exist throughout Canada.
While mapping resources across the country, the team uncovered some gaps, especially in Northern and Indigenous communities.
I think there's a diverse variety of resources available for many like students in universities, such as like in Ontario and like British Columbia, for example, but like other provinces and territories, especially the Northern territories, there's a huge like disparity in the resources that they have available. There's not many like helplines. There's not many like community counseling resources. And it's very, very sad that there are these disparities, because especially in the like Northern territories, these communities themselves are highly populated with Indigenous peoples, and it's very unfortunate that these communities are lacking these important mental health services and needs. And that's some disparity that we've realized that exists, and that's something we also want to address.
Moving forward, using their database, the team wants to work with universities and governments to fill these gaps and improve access to mental health resources nationwide.
One thing that we've realized is by kind of making a list of like resources, we can also figure out what's missing from these communities. If we have XYZ resources in this community, we also know, oh, we're missing this resource. So by figuring out these disparities, we can kind of do a study and see, oh, these different university campuses, these different cities are missing these resources. So we should be collaborating with the government, collaborating with these universities so that we can expand and make sure that these missing resources are filled in so that all students have access to all different types of resources for their mental health needs. And an example of this is like Indigenous specific resources. There are some universities that are lacking these resources. So a next step would be to reach out to these universities and say, oh, your city is lacking like Indigenous specific resources for mental health. We need to do something about this. This is a huge problem. And how can we go forward? So that's kind of the next step and next kind of vision that we have with CETL and what we plan on doing in the future.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think something that's important is we are trying to build that trust and that rapport with a bunch of different universities and students, because I think something that's super important is knowing that these resources are ethical and verified, and they're very accurate to these different needs. So I think, yeah, something we do want to work on in the future as well is more so building that rapport, expanding on it.
In response to feedback from students, the CETL team is also looking into adding OHIP and UHIP coverage information to make costs clearer. Once again, CETL.ca is free, no login, and already being used on multiple campuses. The team hopes it becomes a trusted tool and a catalyst for change in student mental health support. For more information, you can visit CETL.ca. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry bringing you your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC's Campus Beat. As exam season gets underway, Queen's services have shifted into winter term support mode. Academic advising offices have expanded, drop-in hours, and many departments are running extra review sessions and peer-assisted study groups. The Writing Center has increased appointment slots and launched short workshops on revision strategies, citation cleanup, and time management planning. On the wellness side, Student Wellness Services is offering quick access counseling options, brief mindfulness sessions, sessions and extended hours for students managing increased stress. Peer support groups through the AMS and faculty societies have also seen higher turnout, especially among first-year students navigating their first December at Queen's. Meanwhile, campus spaces like Stauffer Library, the Arc, and Mitchell Hall are operating with extended hours to accommodate late-night studying. Queen's Security has also encouraged students to use the Buddy system and the campus safety app during the darker winter evenings. It's a time for pressure, but also community, with students helping each other wrap up the semester before everyone heads into the holiday break. For those students still in Kingston, whether that you're on campus, off campus, or just like to wander around downtown, Downtown Kingston is beginning its slate of December programming, from small business pop-ups to the early holiday market at Springer Market Square. Many Queen students take part as vendors, musicians, and volunteers, contributing to the seasonal atmosphere. City organizers say participation from the student population helps support local businesses during one of the busiest times of year, and strengthens the relationship between the university and the surrounding community. So with that said, any Queen students still in town, make sure you pop by downtown to engage in some of the holiday events. Queen's researchers at the Robora Lab, part of the Ingenuity Labs Research Institute, are breaking new ground with autonomous drone built to operate in extreme northern conditions. Their work, developed over the past several years, focuses on designing unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, capable of surviving harsh Arctic conditions, including unpredictable weather, limited GPS reliability, and long-range missions. The project aims to create drones that can land on floating charging platforms at sea, allowing long-duration surveillance, environmental monitoring, and search and rescue operations in remote regions. The underlying research addresses the real-world challenges of navigation, energy efficiency, and reliable autonomous control, pushing forward both national-scale applications and academic innovation at Queen's. For Queen's students and the Kingston community, this work highlights how campus labs are contributing to projects with impacts across Canada, sometimes literally from Kingston to the Arctic. It shows that Queen's isn't just focused on classroom learning, but it's actively contributing to cutting-edge research with national relevance. For students interested in engineering, robotics, environmental science, or security studies, this kind of project offers a glimpse of the type of real-world, high-stakes work happening right now on campus. I've been Henry with your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9's Queen's Campus Beat. Thank you for listening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, December 10th, we could see another 5 to 10 centimeters of wet snow with cool, breezy conditions. So still too early to tell definitively, but there could be a tri-board snow day watch in effect. If not on Tuesday, then certainly Wednesday morning. Thursday, December 11th, daytime high of minus 5, feeling closer to minus 8. Friday, December 12th, another minus 5 day, but about 4 degrees colder with an overnight low of minus 12. Saturday, December 13th, daytime high of minus 5, overnight low of minus 8. However, with the wind chill, it will feel closer to minus 12. Sunday, December 14th, daytime high of minus 4, overnight low of minus 10. And then kicking off next week, Monday, December 15th, daytime high of minus 5 with an overnight low of minus 13. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Reminder that winter parking restrictions are in place as of December 1st. During December and March, overnight street parking will be banned only if the weather conditions require it. During January and February, overnight on-street parking is not permitted no matter the weather conditions. With construction season winding down, there are fewer road closures than you would typically expect. Here are three relevant road closures in the Kingston area. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. And Berry Street, Queen 2 Colborn is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson. Expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardner's. Expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey, how's it going? You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History. This is your concerts calendar for the week of December 8th to 14th, so let's see what's happening across Kingston. Starting off the week with some cozy sounds, on Monday, December 8th, catch the Natalie and Dave Jazz Duo with classic jazz at the RCHA starting at 4:30 p.m. This is a perfect place to wind down after a chilly December Monday. Kentucky plays at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. And to close out Monday, live jazz at Musiki starts at 8 p.m. This is always a lovely, intimate atmosphere. The energy picks up on Tuesday with Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. As well, there's Tegan McLaren at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. with some country folk storytelling. And if you've got something to share, the open mic with Carrick McAllister is at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, starting off with some country, it's Dallas Smith at the Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Wings and Tunes open mic is at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. Quentin Cautry brings acoustic originals to the Bank Gastro Bar starting at 5:30 p.m. It's Kingston's favorite, Christopher Jackson. He's playing at the Creekside Bar at 6 p.m. Finally, on Wednesday, over on Wolf Island, it's DJ Great White at Hotel Wolf Island from 4 to 7 p.m., followed by their open mic starting at 7:30. Even with a little chill in the air and snow on the ground, it's never been a better time to catch the ferry. Quite the lineup on Thursday, December 11th. Indie folk powerhouse Isanabi performs at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. Jeff Dunn is at the RCHA starting at 7 p.m. Blues at the Cove with Monkey Junk is at the Cove Inn from 7 to 11 p.m. This is a well-respected Canadian blues trio and a must-see. There's lots more on Thursday with Vivian Wilder at the Toucan starting at 9:30 p.m. The Codas at Northside starting at 7:30 p.m. Donnie Cooper at the Creekside Bar at 6 p.m. Scott Owen at the Merchant starting at 9:30 p.m. And John McClurg at Timeout Bar at 4 p.m. followed by Ted Landlone at 7. Lots of special shows for the holiday season this weekend. On Friday, starting at 4 p.m., it's TGIF Happy Hour at the RCHA, always a familiar place to ease into the weekend. And stick around because the Big Fat Horn Band Christmas show is from 8 to 11 p.m., also at the RCHA. If you're looking for a cozy dinner on a cold December evening at the Cove Inn, it's Mikhail Laxton at 6 p.m. He has soulful vocals and warm acoustics, so a perfect night is coming your way. If you've got some more energy and you're looking for a bit of an adventure, head over to Wolf Island for Dumai Denai at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 6:30 p.m. This is Balkan-inspired folk punk. It's sure to be a good time and a good story. Triple bill at the Mansion on Friday with Wine Lips, The Strange Happenings, and The Mature Themes. Expect fast tempos, garage rock, and punk. Doors are at 7:30 p.m. The Bella Voca Chorus performs a holiday choral at the Spire starting at 7 p.m. And at Musiki at 8 p.m., Hollow Body brings mellow indie folk while at Overtime Sports Bar. It's Drop Zone at 8 p.m., which is a live mix of hip-hop and house. So put on your boogie shoes and get into a groove. To close out Friday, Trevor Walsh starts the night early at Timeout Bar from 4 to 6:30, followed by the Trevor Walsh Band at 7 p.m., and Bon Evans takes Tiernan Og at 9 p.m. Finally, if you're craving something nostalgic, Drink 182 hits the Toucan at 10:30 p.m. On Saturday, there's something for everyone. Starting off on the heavier side, metal lovers are going to love the Broom Factory lineup. Starting at 7:30 p.m., it's Bat Sabbath, Slipptomb, and Pissfit. At the RCHA, it's the Big Fat Horn Band Christmas show again at 8 p.m., another guaranteed party, especially if you missed out on Friday's performance. At the Cove Inn, it's Young Petty Stones, but it's not just any show. This is their holiday rock show at 7 p.m., so think classic rock with a festive flair. To close out the week on Sunday, Garnet Rogers is at the Broom Factory at 3 p.m., and it's the 10th annual holiday show with Arabesque Academy of Dance at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 2 p.m. If you have a concert you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out at cfrc.ca or through the link tree in our Instagram at cfrcmusic. Hey, this is Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. This is your events calendar for December 8th through 14th. Whether you're looking for some holiday fun, trivia, or karaoke, Kingston is buzzing with events this week, so let's take a look. On Monday, we start the week with a holiday classic. Ballet Jorgens' The Nutcracker is at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 6:30 p.m. And as always, trivia at Brass Pub starts at 7:45 p.m., so grab a drink and test your knowledge. And also trivia at Something in the Water Brewing starts at 8 p.m., a cozy atmosphere with great local beer and lots of laughs. On Tuesday, it's time for some holiday shopping at the Kingston Public Market at Springer Market Square from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This production is known for its Canadian twist, so if you missed it on Monday, catch The Nutcracker again by Ballet Jorgens at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 6:30 p.m. The Community Song Circle at Kingston Community House runs from 6 to 8 p.m. Indigenous Drumming at Trellis HIV and Community Care is at 1 p.m. And Euchre at Daft Brewing starts at 7 p.m. As well, Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia is also at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, December 10th, Christmas at the Movies is presented by Frontenac Community Concert Band at the Spire starting at 7 p.m. And at the Broom Factory, it's the Broom Closet Burlesque and Cabaret Show starting at 7:30 p.m. This is sure to be a glamorous, high-energy night, but if you're looking for something on the more chill side, Trivia at Daft Brewing is at 7 p.m., Trivia at Wild Wing, 7:30. And of course, every Wednesday, the Karaoke Trifecta, Karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar at 7, Karaoke at Timeout Bar at 8, and Karaoke at the Mansion at 9 p.m. Another triple threat. This time it's trivia on Thursday with Riverhead Brewing starting at 7 p.m., the Grad Club starts at 8, and Queen's Pub at 9 p.m. Also on Thursday, it's Drag Bingo at Daft Brewing starting at 7 p.m. And if you just couldn't get enough of Wednesday night karaoke, why not make it Thursday night karaoke with Karaoke at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square runs again from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Thursday. And on Friday, the Aline Ballerina Nutcracker Ballet takes the stage at Kingston Grand Theater at 5:30 p.m. This is a family-friendly adaptation and is sure to be a lovely early evening show. Starting off strong on Saturday, it's the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square again from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is a perfect time to browse for festive goods or a sweet treat to just take the bite off that cold weather. From 1 to 4 p.m., it's an afternoon in Paris with French wines, hors d'oeuvres, pastries, and vendors at St. George's Cathedral. Who wouldn't want a small taste of Europe right in downtown Kingston, especially in the cold winter months? And on Saturday, a great activity for the little ones. Families will love All Aboard the Dino Train at the Pump House Museum from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is an interactive event combining trains, dinosaurs, and hands-on learning. And if you're planning on staying out late on Saturday, it's karaoke at Timeout Bar starting at 9 p.m. finally, on Sunday, December 14th, we are closing out the weekend with some chill karaoke. Karaoke night at The Merchant begins at 8 p.m. This is a lively night with regulars in the weekend crowd, and if you're still in the mood to perform, karaoke at the Toucan is one of the city's most iconic late-night scenes. This starts at 10:30 p.m., so warm up those vocal cords. Thanks so much for joining me this week. As always, if you have an event that you'd like to add to our online or on-air events calendar, feel free to reach out today via cfrc.ca or using the link tree in our bio on our Instagram at cfrcmusic. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from Harmony Music Lounge's Origin Story Volume 2, a full-length album written, performed, and produced entirely by youth from Napanee and Kingston. From it, we'll listen to Gasoline by Brielle Banderson and Atlas Rossborough, a slow-burning alt-rock single that explores emotional overload, performed with grit and grace by two standout members of the youth band Sound Chamber, who were both in grade 9 at the time of recording. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Origin Story Volume 2 on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Gasoline here with us on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Up there. sheets smell like gasoline. The fumes keep poisoning my dreams, and I wake up in a cold sweat thinking about you.
Tune in to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. Join your host, Ara McCauley, for a free-flow show where words, ideas, and music mingle. Each week, we sit down with one of the local authors and artists leading writing workshops through the Word Labs program. They'll share their stories, their insights, maybe even a few secrets of their craft. Get your pens ready. After the chat, you'll get writing prompts to stretch your imagination, all set to a soundscape designed to help you focus, relax, and create. Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9 FM. Today, I wanted to talk to you about writer's block. To be honest, this wasn't the topic I planned to discuss, but when I was trying to come up with ideas for another subject that I was looking into, I felt stuck. So I thought this was a good opportunity to explore the whys of writers or any creative block and ways of addressing it. One of the first things to know is that writer's block or creative block is almost never just about the writing or the creative process. Often it's about us. It's things going on in our lives around that creative activity. So if you're feeling stressed, if your life is busy, if you're not feeling well, if you're low energy, if your expectations are too high, all of those things can impact your ability to produce. Writing is emotional work, and if your mental or physical health is under pressure, for example, winter, holiday season, can be tough for folks. Seasonal affective disorder is happening. Those dark days, feeling sick, everybody's got respiratory illnesses going on. Those all impact what you're able to create. And when you start thinking about those things, it becomes a lot more understandable that staring at that blank page might feel really heavy or intimidating or even impossible. So the first step is to figure out the real source of your block. Try separating how you feel about your writing from everything else going on in your life. Writing should be an area of freedom and control. It's there waiting for you, and it can be a release if you see it that way. So if it's not feeling that way, what is holding you back? Fear or feeling overwhelmed by your writing is a pretty common concern. You might be thinking, I'm afraid this is no good. I'll never be able to finish this. It'll never get published. I'm going to fail. That's incredibly familiar. And a lot of it comes from that idea of looking 10 steps ahead when you should be looking one step ahead. Break it down. Like any big task, breaking it down into manageable steps can help you move instead of feeling like this is too much and I just can't go anywhere. The other thing is to realize that when you're starting to write your first draft, your only job is to get to the end of your story, to get it on paper. That's it. Every novel, every story you've ever read went through drafts, had a lot of editing done to it. It didn't come out into the world and onto the page in that form. So comparing your first messy attempt to someone else's polished final product is counterproductive and unrealistic. So don't do that to yourself. Another common one, procrastination. Yeah. This is one that I think affects a lot of us. It certainly is something that I have challenges with. And, you know, most writers can be very good at finding ways to avoid writing. But I think one of the first things to do is realize that procrastination is not totally a bad thing. Embracing it instead of trying to defeat it can help your writing a lot. When you're procrastinating, when you're quote unquote doing nothing, chances are there's actually a lot of thought percolating in the background. Your subconscious mind is working. Sometimes your brain needs that space to play around, so that when you do sit down, you have ideas to put on the page. Some advice, especially if you're writing something longer and you're in that plotter camp versus the pantser camp, is to accommodate your procrastination by actually scheduling it into your writing. For example, we just talked about NaNoWriMo in November and talked about page count and how many words or how many pages you want to write a day. If you are the kind of person who appreciates setting goals like that for yourself, plan some wiggle room. So figure out how many pages you need per writing day to hit your deadline. This is, first of all,
acknowledging that maybe you don't get to write every day, but set a deadline for yourself, figure out how many pages you need, and be realistic that some of those days you might be less productive, you might procrastinate. So when this happens, you will then adjust to ensure that you still get to that goal. Of course, you don't want to go overboard with that. If your page per day goal is 3 and you miss a couple of those targets and you have to bump it up to 4 or 5, that might be doable. If you procrastinate for a month and all of a sudden you need to write 20 pages a day in order to get to your deadline, that's just going to cause you to panic and freeze, probably. It's not a get out of jail free card for procrastination, but it's an acceptance that you are human and sometimes you aren't going to be able to show up the same way and with the same energy as other days. It's also helpful to pay attention to when you write best. You know, a lot of people do write first thing in the morning because that's sort of when that little window happens where they have free time. But for other people, it could be at lunchtime, it could be at night. Pay attention to when you feel focused, when you feel calm, when you feel receptive to creativity, and try to schedule your writing around that if possible. You can also look at things that help you focus. Some people like ritual and routine, so lighting a candle, having a nice coffee or a cup of tea, cozy blanket, things that help you feel settled into your space. It could also be cleaning your desk space. If you have a lot of mess and a lot of distractions, that is preventing you from getting things down on the page. Another killer of creativity is perfectionism. Perfectionism has its place. It can be helpful during revision when you're doing those really close edits and you want to make your writing as tight and impactful as possible, but it is just going to stop you if you're doing it in the drafting stage. Take off your editor hat. Your job in the first draft is not to be perfect. It's to get the story down so that you can build upon that foundation. If you edit as you draft, you're going to lose momentum and probably lose heart. It's going to be hard for you to keep going if you're second guessing every sentence, every character, every action in that moment. That's what additional drafts and revisions are for. Distractions. We talked about the messy desk. There are other things that can pull us away from our writing, like people, social media, phone games, TV on in the background. So set boundaries. Make a writing schedule and tell the people in your life that you're unavailable unless something really important is needed of you. Learn to say no. View it as you would work. Again, writing should be fun, but if you want to be serious about it and you are scheduling this time, treat it the same way that you would a doctor's appointment. When we feel stuck, we instinctively go to seek something fun, get that little bit of a dopamine hit. But it's really easy for that little dopamine hit to turn into a couple of hours of doom scrolling and suddenly you're sitting there and have gotten nothing that you wanted to get done. So what are some strategies to overcome writer's block? I am a big fan of just writing and we'll do a bit of practice on that later in this episode. Free writing, picking writing prompts, doing something that's unrelated to the writing that you are working on, but just gets your fingers on the keyboard or your pen on the page. Lower your expectations. You have to realize that not every writing day will be a good day. It doesn't need to be as long as you show up. People going to the gym or training for a marathon aren't going to lift the same weights or run the same distance every day. If they do, that's going to put a huge strain on their body, and rest is important. Giving yourself realistic goals to achieve and giving yourself some grace can go a long way towards keeping writing enjoyable for you. Have fun getting to know your characters. We've talked about characters before. Exploring the worlds of your characters can be really helpful. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed again by the big picture of our story. So this is an opportunity to zoom in. Who are your characters? What do they want? What are they scared of? Who are they interacting with? Try spending some time exploring your characters away from the pages of your work in progress. Open up a notebook and start looking at the whole story through each individual character's eyes, even the minor characters. It will provide you with literal different perspectives and might spark an idea. Speaking of movement, give yourself a little mini retreat. Change your scenery. If you're feeling antsy at your desk, get out, take a walk, bring your notebook to a cafe, walk through the park, the waterfront, and sit there for a bit. A new environment can help re-spark your imagination. You can also mix it up. If you're stuck on chapter one, you've kind of hit a slump, jump to the end of the story and write that if you know that's where you've got a lot of excitement or ideas. Or if you're really excited about writing a scene, write it. You can build around it afterwards, and that can give you a bit of an anchor of like what leads into it and what leads out of it. It's about rekindling the joy of writing and reminding yourself why you're writing, which is because you enjoy it, because it gives you something. Speaking of giving yourself something, if you need to, give yourself a real break. Yes, sometimes we are procrastinating, but sometimes we are depleted or we're heading towards burnout. If you are feeling like you are exhausted and that you just can't, listen to your body. When you need rest, take it. Sometimes you need rest, not discipline. So go for a walk, cook, nap, make art, do something that is going to refill that cup versus continuing to pull from it. There are lots of things that you can do that kind of keep the creative part of your brain alive while giving you a rest. If you're worried about that, read. Writers should be readers. You get better at writing by reading from other people. I think sometimes there's a worry that, you know, if I read too much, I'm going to start copying other writers. But if you read a lot and you pull ideas from diverse sources, you will amalgamate it into something that is your own. Look at your shelves. What do you love to read? Do you have a guilty pleasure? Be honest with yourself, even if you think of yourself as a very literary writer. Sometimes taking a break and looking at what's fun for you and reading that and writing it can get you kickstarted, give yourself new momentum. One bit of advice that I have found helpful, not always in creative work, but even in grant writing and things like that, is the idea of stopping while you're ahead. Don't keep writing until you've lost any idea of what's coming next. Write when you're still feeling excited about what you're saying, or when you still feel like you have some ideas about where it's going to go, and pause before you start losing momentum. And what this can do is keep that subconscious working so that when you step away, part of your mind is still thinking about that idea that was really exciting you, and it'll keep percolating there. Another one from an author named Brian Moreland, a tip that he offered was write a little bit before bedtime. So if you are feeling stuck or you're not quite sure where you want to go next, spend 15 to 30 minutes. So not a ton of time, but a little bit of time writing right before you fall asleep, and just let your brain work on it while you're sleeping. In the morning, chances are you'll find something that helps get you over that hump. So the quickest thing that we can do right now in this little program is probably the advice to just write. I mentioned before, I love this. I am always pleasantly surprised by how easily this comes to me, and I know it doesn't for everyone. So if it doesn't mean you're a bad writer. It's just might not be the activity for you, but I encourage you to give it a try. So we're going to spend the rest of this episode just free writing. Write whatever comes off the top of your head. You're not worrying about spelling. You're not worrying about punctuation. You're not worried about creating anything. It's just writing freely. It can be totally random. You can go off on as many tangents as you want. And the idea behind this is to bypass that part of the brain that's over analytical, that's telling you, oh, wait, we're not ready. We've got to think about this. You are ready. You can do it. So let's do it. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, ain't nobody stopping me. Ain't my greens, yeah, ain't all of my broccoli. You wanna beef, well at least do it properly. Ain't got a chance, this ain't even Monopoly. It can't be you, this ain't even a lottery. Only thing I'm trying to smash nowadays is the glass and the ceiling on top of me. I'm trying to be peaceful and worry-free, but some of these need a lobotomy, honestly. Play ball, now it's time for another kick. Already got a bunch ticked off the bucket list. Never had love, found love, now I'm loving it. Real talk, man, I hope you discover it. No shortcuts in life, man, you gotta be aligned with the suffering. Can't start ducking it. You gotta pick your battles, but right now this ain't even a challenge, I'm just brushing up.
I don't know, but I like it. I'm trying to follow excitement. We don't need much to light it. Just a little bit.
Add a little spice to the rhythm. Cook it up, smelling real nice in the kitchen.
Voila.
Yes, he did. No, we didn't. She said, now she living. Hey, mom, look, I'm on the telly. Trying to put food in my belly. Giving it some welly. Even if it's straight from the heart, it might not chart, so you might as well dance like. Bop your head and hit a two-step. Bop your head and hit a two-step. Bop your head and hit a two-step. Spin it round, give him roulette. Wave bye-bye as I go up. Top floor band where I show up. Everything I do, yeah, everything's a goer. Can't constrict me, I ain't no boa.
I don't know, but I like it. I'm trying to follow excitement. We don't need much to light it. Just a little bit, just a little bit. I don't know, but I like it. I'm trying to follow excitement. We don't need much to light it. Just a little bit, just a little bit. Indigo, where were you when I needed you most?
Are you looking for smoking hot local singles in your area? Well, look no further. Tune in Thursdays at 11:30 for the Release Radar Rundown with great singles released by local Kingston artists, a program made possible in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and our friends at Modern City Taxi. We've got something for everyone with great music across genres made by musicians in our community. Join in the fun. Release Radar.